Skillings out to Thomas. Another three from Day-Day Thomas.
And that three-pointer gave Cincinnati the breathing room they needed to seal a five-point win over West Virginia in the first round of the Big 12 tournament yesterday at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Cincinnati knocking off West Virginia, and former Osborne native and head coach of West Virginia on an interim basis, Josh Eilert, West Virginia sees their season comes to an end. 90-85 was the final. Cincinnati will move on to take on KU. Welcome to Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Earlier yesterday, number 12 seed Central Florida knocked off number 13 seed Oklahoma State 77-62. Central Florida will face BYU this morning at 11:30 in the morning. Yes, day two of the Big 12 tournament in KC. At 2 o'clock, it'll be the 8 seed TCU versus the 9 seed Oklahoma. At 6 o'clock, a very important game for K-State. We'll talk more about that in a moment. K-State, the 10 seed, will take on the 7 seed Texas. And as we mentioned earlier, at 8:30 tonight, it'll be KU versus Cincinnati. KU without Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson for the Big 12 tournament. They hope to have them ready to go for the NCAA tournament that begins late next week. Of course, remember, Selection Sunday is this Sunday. We'll find out where your area teams go, your favorite college team, and what seed they'll have, what region they'll be in, what the matchup will be, and so forth. For the first time ever, the Big 12 Women's Tournament Championship was played in T-Mobile Center, and the number 2 seed Texas Longhorns handled the 4 seed Iowa State 70-53. Brent Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, announced yesterday that the Big 12 championships, the women's and men's tournaments, will be in Kansas City through 2031. So that is good news. Some of the new people to the Big 12 from other institutions, some that are joining the league this year, some that haven't joined yet but will next year, are already complaining about the Big 12 tournament being in Kansas City. You know, here's an idea. Maybe you should experience it first and then quit bitching and complaining. Maybe, just maybe, you should actually come to Kansas City and see what makes it so great, so you actually know what the bleep you're talking about. It's just insane nowadays how people act like they're experts and don't know jack squat of what they're talking about. And so, welcome to the Big 12, and just get used to coming to Kansas City for the Big 12 tournament. Or, better yet, if you don't like Kansas City, stay away. Be in your Barca Lounger in Phoenix or wherever it might be. Enjoy the game on TV and quit trying to rain on everybody's parade. Experience it first, then you could make a comment, would probably be the smart thing to do. But that's not what we do anymore in this society, and it bleeds down in the sports. There, get on my soapbox there. So the Big 12 tournaments will be in Kansas City through 2031 to the chagrin of new members coming to the Big 12. We're going to talk some Chiefs football, NFL free agency, the Royals continuing spring training. But come out next, in about 30 seconds or so, we will talk K-State.
Does your vehicle have a leak, squeak, or rattle? Is there an annoying warning light shining at you from the dash? I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. If you have an automotive issue, don't just live with it because you're afraid of what it might cost to get it fixed. We offer a 15-minute no-wrench inspection for free, so you can get a professional opinion about your problem without spending a dime. Call or stop by today. We're happy to take a look at almost anything for free. That's Kiever Brothers Automotive, just south of the courthouse in Beloit, and online at KieverBrothers.com.
It's time for K-State in Focus, our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. All right, we start with the women's basketball team for Kansas State. They lost in the semifinals of the Big 12 Women's Tournament in Kansas City. They are 25-7 overall, third in the Big 12 at 13-5. Lost to Texas in the semis 71-64. K-State now hoping to be one of the top 16 seeds overall for the NCAA tournament, because if they are, they would host the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament at Bramlage. I don't think they're going to. I think they're worthy. I think Jeff Mitty is correct with their resume, what they've accomplished this year, that they should be. They beat Caitlin Clark at Iowa. They beat a ranked North Carolina team out of conference. They've got very good wins in conference. Big 12 considered the toughest league in American women's basketball. I think he has a great point. I agree with him. but I don't think it's going to happen. Hopefully, I'm wrong. K-State men today, a huge game. Listen, Dusty doesn't think K-State's making the NCAA tournament. He said that many times. I think K-State can make the tournament, but the question is, what do they need to do to get into the tournament? They're 18-13 overall. Their non-con is not very good. They do have very good wins, though, over a top 10 team at the time, Kansas, top 10 team, Iowa State. They've beaten Baylor. They have some good wins in conference. Big 12, considered the toughest conference in America. They went 8-10 in this conference. Some people have talked about certain ratings that K-State has, that no team has been left out with what the rating is that K-State has. I don't get all caught up in all of those tremendous numbers, per se, because I know there's always exceptions to every rule. So you can't sit and go, well, we're in because every other team that had this numerical equation got in. We'd be the first that wouldn't. And then what happens? Oh, my gosh, they're the first team to not make the tournament. Does that make you feel any better? No, of course not. So K-State had some good wins, but this is my opinion. I haven't really looked at the bubble that closely. To me, this is just me. I think that Kansas State needs to win too. I think K-State needs to beat Texas, and I think K-State then needs to beat Iowa State again and make it to the Big 12 tournament semifinals. The reason being is that would give them another quality win over a top 10 team, Iowa State, even though you just beat them. Get two wins over Iowa State. It would give you 20 wins overall. Two Big 12 wins, obviously, in the Big 12 tournament. I think K-State needs two more wins. Now, maybe they only need one. Maybe they don't. I truly believe they can't lose today and make the tournament. That's just my two cents. I think if they lose today, they're done. They're going to go to the NIT. You don't want to go to the NIT. You'd rather go to the NCAA, obviously. So they need to win tonight at 6 o'clock against Texas. If they do that and lose tomorrow in the quarters, are they in? Maybe. I don't think so. I think they have to win too. I think Dusty said he thought they needed to make it to the Big 12 title game or win the Big 12 tournament, which gets you the automatic bid. Obviously, if you do that, you got nothing to worry about. So to me, this is a game that K-State must win tonight, and they might have to win tomorrow as well. And who knows? They might have to just – maybe their only option to get in tournament is to win this tournament. And that would be four games, winning four games in 4 days. So the K-State men have some work to do. I think most people would agree with that part. It's just a matter of how much they have to do to get into the NCAA tournament. Our focus on K-State athletics today is brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. The K-State baseball team, did you hear what happened the other day? If you didn't, let me fill you in. Because K-State on Friday night did something they hadn't done in a very, very long time. The K-State men's baseball team, 9-6 overall, 2-1 in conference play. And they lost number 8 Tennessee last week, 15-5. They lost number 10 Clemson on the road, 8-3, trying to beef up their non-conference schedule because they were left out of the NCAA tournament a year ago because of their non-con. And they opened up Big 12 play against Cincinnati at Twin Family Stadium there in Manhattan on Friday. And on Friday, Jacob Frost with his left arm and Jackson Wentworth, his right arm, they combined to team up for the 9th no-hitter in K-State's 124-year history of baseball. First no-hitter in history against a Big 12 conference opponent. Program's first combined no-hitter since 1991. And they went on to get their first Big 12 opening series win because they took 2 out of 3 against Cincinnati. They won thanks to the no-hitter on Friday, 4-0. Lost 11-7 on Saturday. Then beat Cincinnati in a low-scoring affair. 14-13 in 12 innings. They will host South Dakota State today at 3 o'clock, and then Friday they'll host Missouri State, the first of a three-game set, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then they'll get Wichita State coming up next week and then go back in the Big 12 play with Houston. So the K-State baseball team, Jacob Frost was fantastic, 118 pitches, a lefty, 21-year-old junior, retired 21 of 25 batters he faced. So that means there's some walks. So it wasn't a perfect game, but a combined no-hitter for K-State, the ninth in school history, first combined no-hitter since 1991. Pretty special stuff for the K-State baseball team. And if you have a chance to go over there, and if you're a baseball fan, I encourage you to go watch K-State, because they should be. I think they're going to get better and better as the season goes on, and hopefully they can make the tournament after being left out a year ago. So that's been our focus on K-State Athletics, brought to you, as always, by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit as well. We turn our attention to the KU men's basketball team. And I think the questions for Kansas, they seem simple, right? And the main question is, are they going to get healthy in time for the NCAA tournament? That's the first question. If they do get healthy, and we're talking about Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson, McCullough with the knee bruise, bone bruise, and Dickinson with dislocated shoulder. If they're both back and fairly healthy, how far can this Kansas team go? If they're not, are we just going to go ahead and automatically chalk up Kansas for a first-round loss? They will not have Hunter Dickinson or Kevin McCullough tonight against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's still trying to keep their season alive, make the NCAA tournament. I think Cincinnati has to win the Big 12 tournament, so clearly a must-win for Cincinnati tonight at 8:30, pregame 8 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. Jayhawks. They were 10-8 in conference play. They're a 6 seed, but yet they're slotted to be a 3 seed in NCAA tournament. And now, the 6 seed in the Big 12 tournament is based on what you did during Big 12 play. Your seed for the NCAA tournament is based on your complete body of work. And Kansas has some amazing wins, although they were back a ways in the non-con, knocking off Kentucky and Tennessee and UConn. Houston, then they got blown out by Houston, but they got that win at home. They beat Baylor at home. Kansas has a lot of good wins, and their losses aren't horrible, although they do have some in Big 12 play on the road. They're only 2-7 on the road, the worst road record for Bill Self since he'd be the head coach at Kansas in conference play. Listen, I don't expect Kansas to win tonight. I don't think there's a lot of KU fans that expect them to win tonight. I don't know what Kansas is really playing for tonight, other than maybe they could slide to a 4 seed. A lot of people are saying they're a 3 seed. Listen, the way Kansas is playing right now, I say they're a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. The way they're playing now in their situation, I mean, without McCullough and Dickinson, this Kansas team is not even a tournament team. I don't even think they are. Or they're a bubble team. And are we getting the truth from the standpoint of, you know, Bill Self? I'm not saying Bill Self's a liar, but if I'm Bill Self, I'm certainly not going to reveal if I know. Well, you know, Dickinson and McCullough probably done for the year. Because why would Bill Self say that? If he says that and reveals that information, Kansas will be seeded differently for the NCAA tournament. And Bill Self's not stupid. I'm not fully convinced that these guys are going to be ready to go for the NCAA tournament. And if they are, I definitely don't think they're really anywhere close to 100%. And it sounds weird to say, but Kansas is used to playing without Kevin McCullough to an extent, and they're not great without him. We know this. But Kevin McCullough is not going to be 100% healthy for the NCAA tournament. He won't be. Will he be healthy enough to play and be effective? We shall see. He might re-aggravate it to where he can't be very effective. But Kansas has not played without Hunter Dickinson except for part of a game against Baylor. Or Houston, excuse me. So how does Kansas play without a 7'2" big man inside they can throw to? And if they lose tonight, and remember Dickinson is not playing tonight either, if they lose tonight, they only have one game to see how things work without Dickinson. If Kansas could somehow win one tonight, then they would play tomorrow against Baylor at 8:30, and then they would at least get 2 games under their belt to see how they could adapt without Hunter Dickinson. I think the Hunter Dickinson injury may be bigger for Kansas next week in the NCAA tournament than the McCullough one. From the standpoint that Kansas isn't used to playing without Hunter Dickinson. 2, it's a dislocated shoulder. It is physical inside. It'll be physical in the tournament. And I wonder if he'll favor that shoulder or be worried about popping it out again. So it could take away some aggressiveness for Hunter Dickinson. So of the 2 injuries, they're both very significant. And there's no question about it. They're two of the best players in America. McCullers a second-team All-American. Dickinson a third-team All-American. But not having Dickinson takes away your entire offense in the paint and on the block. He's not a great defensive player, but he's still 7'2". And you're not used to playing without him, whereas McCullers, you've had six games, I think, without McCullers. Now, some people would say, this is all semantics here. It doesn't matter whether they have McCullers and not Dickinson, or they have Dickinson and not McCullers. You know, you're missing one of those guys. If you're missing McCullers or Dickinson, Wade, it doesn't matter. This team's going nowhere. And I'm not going to disagree that I don't think they're going to go deep in the tournament without one of those guys. If Kansas is going to make a run to the Final Four, and that's, of course, the goal every year for Kansas, if they're going to really get through to the second weekend, they have to have McCullers and Dickinson on the floor. Now, how effective do they need to be to win two games in the NCAA tournament? I don't know. It depends on matchups. Because if Kansas is indeed going to be a 3 seed, they'll play a 14 in the first round. And I think the last time KU was a 3 seed in the tournament, they lost to a 14. I'd have to look that up. If they slide to a 4, if they lose tonight, maybe they slide to a 4. Then they play a 13. Okay, so if you're a 3 and you beat the 14, then you're probably going to play a 6-11. Usually a 6, but it could be 11 seed in the second round. If you're a 4 seed, then you've got some issues because then you could play a 5 seed in the second round. So is it better to be a 3 seed and a 4 seed? Of course. The higher seed, the better. Bill Self's never been worse than a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. If Dickinson McCullers don't, if they would be ruled out for the NCAA tournament before the selection committee puts together their bracket and reveals it on Sunday, Kansas is nowhere near a 3 or 4 seed, in my opinion. We've seen the committee seed teams lower because of significant injuries or a guy being out for the entire year. The perfect example is Cincinnati with Bob Huggins and had Kenyon Marshall Kenyon Martin. And he was out for the season, and they were given a 2 seed when they should have been a 1, but they were basing it off of what is this team like without their best player. So if you're KU, you're tied to the lip. If anybody at KU knows Dickinson and McCullers not going to play next week in the NCAA tournament, you better keep your mouth shut or you might get fired, because you're going to be punished on the seed line by the committee. And honestly, I think that's probably the right thing to do. You got to base it off of who's available. And we've seen Kansas without McCullers not very good. We haven't seen much without Dickinson, but we do know that when Dickinson McCullers didn't play, Kansas was already getting pummeled by Houston, and it didn't get any better. It's a small sample size with both of them out at the same time. We'll get a better idea tonight. And maybe that's going to – maybe tonight's game is bigger than we think from the standpoint that if Kansas pulls one out tonight without Dickinson and McCullers, which means Timberlake and Jackson have to start, and I have no idea who you bring off the bench other than Parker Brown. Actually, Parker Brown would be a big, he might start. Kansas has no depth before these injuries. Cincinnati has a lot to play for, but perhaps Kansas has more to play for than we think. If Kansas wins tonight, maybe that locks in a 3 seed for the tournament. But perhaps if they lose tonight, they slide to a 4. Or maybe we're all wrong and they're on the 4 line and they might slide to a 5. So it'll be interesting to see what the committee does with Kansas because of the injuries. But if you're a KU fan and you're sitting there going, ah, no sweat, man. No big deal. McCullers and Dickinson are out. They're going to be good to go. Bill's doing everything right here. He's going to rest them. They're going to be 100% ready to go next week for the tournament. We're going to make a run. I think you're one of the more optimistic people that I know. And I try to be pretty optimistic. Everybody knows about how optimistic I've been about the Chiefs when they were struggling. I was in the minority on that one. Turned out to be right. I've said for a while now that Kansas, you could compare some similarities to the Chiefs, that people don't expect a lot. They're always the one that is the hunted. And people take shots at them when they're down. And people say, well, Kansas can't do this. The thing is, the Chiefs had Kelce and Mahomes and Chris Jones. Neither one of those guys were hurt. If Kansas is healthy, I still do believe Kansas can make the Final Four, because with their starting five, it's good enough to beat 4 top 10 teams in the country this year. But if one of them is not even close to effective, or one of them does not play, then I'm with everybody else. I just don't see that happening. But If somebody at KU knows McCullough and Dickinson, one of them or both of them are not even close to 100%, or they know they're not going to play next week, or they know that it's unlikely they're going to play, they better be as tight-lipped as anybody, because you do not want the committee to get wind of this, because I think Kansas will go down a seed line. And we'll talk with Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, tomorrow on this show, and I'll ask him that question, or try to remember to ask him that question. And we'll know more if KU wins or loses tonight. We'll know this when we talk to Brian tomorrow at 9:30 on the Sports Ticket. So what's KU's ceiling? If they're 100% healthy with their starters, even with not much of a bench, their ceiling to me is the Final Four. I don't know about a championship, but I'd say Final Four. If you get the Final Four, you can win a title, obviously. If you can get the Final Four, you're only two wins away. If this team is missing McCullough or Dickinson, missing one of those two guys, I think this team, the best they're going to do is Sweet 16, and you're done. If both of these guys can't go next week, I think Kansas is toast in the first round. Maybe because Bill Self's so awesome, they find a way to win the first round game. Maybe they get a good matchup. I don't think they make it out of the first weekend. And I don't think too many people are going to disagree with that. So the ceiling for Kansas, fully healthy, Final Four. If either one of them is hurt, the ceiling to me would be getting through the first weekend, which is not KU-like, but that's just what we're dealing with this year. Turn our attention to baseball. And once again, KU Cincinnati tonight at 8:30. Pregame at 8 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. Turn our attention to baseball. The Royals now 11-7 in spring training, a 4-2 loss to the Rockies. Projected ace Cole Reagans made his second start of spring training. Went 3 2/3, 6 hits, 4 runs, 1 walk, 2 Ks, gave up a homer, 59 pitches, 42 were strikes. Royals faced the Angels today at 3:05. Daniel Lynch gets the start for the boys in blue. If you like to go to the Royals bus trip, it's about 2 months away on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. You can go with us and see the Royals play the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers. You can sign up at various locations across north central Kansas and get on the bus if we draw your name out of the hat. If you don't want to take your chance and wait on that, you can buy a ticket to be on our Royals bus trip. Call 545-3220 for more details. You could sign up to win free tickets for the bus trip at Cunningham Telephone Cable in Glen Elder and in Beloit, Dairy Queen and Ray's Applemark in Beloit, Boner Welding and Jewel, Mankato Professionals Pharmacy in Mankato, Gerard's Grocery Store in Osborne, and Miller Hardware LLC there in Downs. Love to have you on May the 5th to cheer on the Royals, who should be vastly improved. The Kansas City Chiefs have made a signing in free agency. The Chiefs are signing tight end Irv Smith Jr. The tight end marks the club's first outside signing of the free agency negotiating period that carries along until Wednesday. Smith, 25, so he's young, entered the league as a second-round pick out of Alabama, made by the Minnesota Vikings in the second round of the 2019 NFL draft. After 4 years with the Vikings, that included a season out of football in 2021 due to a torn meniscus. The 6'2", 240-pound tight end spent last season with the Bengals. He joins the Chiefs tight end room led by Travis Kelce, also Noah Gray. When the new year league year begins this afternoon, Blake Bell will be eligible to sign elsewhere. Smith's best season came in 2020 before the injury when he caught 30 passes, 265 yards, and 5 touchdowns. In 12 games for Cincinnati last year, he had 18 catches for 115 and a score. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes is going to restructure his contract. It frees up $21.5 million of salary cap space for the Chiefs as they try to three-peat. Mahomes was scheduled to count more than $58 million against the cap before the restructure. Mahomes, who is just 28 years of age, is signed through the 2031 season at a total cost of almost $500 million. He restructured his contract before the 2021 season as well. He signed a revised contract last year that moved up some money he was scheduled to receive in later years of his deal. So that gives the Chiefs some flexibility. Chiefs recently made cornerback L'Jarius Sneed their franchise player at a cost of almost $20 million against the cap, although the Chiefs may trade L'Jarius Sneed. They also signed defensive tackle Chris Jones to a new contract, though he will count only $7.35 million against their cap this year. And there is another Chief that is going to be a former Chief. There are a lot of Chiefs that are free agents. Willie Gay is going to be a New Orleans Saint, according to reports. And this really surprised me. Willie Gay, who I think is a very good linebacker. I really do. I think he's a good linebacker. I'm surprised. Reports are he's going to get a one-year deal for $5 million. I would have thought he got more than that. One year, $5 million. So you start to say, as a Chiefs fan, the Chiefs don't have the $5 million to grab him and keep him? Well, you got Tranquil, you got Bolton. You could draft somebody coming up in April. But we thought all along that Willie Gay's probably not going to be back. Willie Gay even knew it before his final playoff game at home against the Dolphins, put it on social media that he, you know, that's probably his last game at Arrowhead. So Willie Gay is going to be a member of the Saints, it appears. Back to baseball for a moment. Bo Jackson, the greatest athlete that I've ever seen play in my life, has been elected to the Royals Hall of Fame. He'll be inducted on June 29th, played for the Royals from 86 to 91, was the 1989 All-Star Game MVP, and if he didn't get hurt at freak injury in football with the Raiders, he might have been a baseball Hall of Famer, not just a Royals Hall of Famer. Greatest athlete I ever saw, and it's not even close. Back to the Chiefs. So yesterday we were talking about wide receivers because that's the position a lot of people want to focus on as a Chiefs fan. And this is the Sports Ticket brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. I mentioned a few names. Dusty, I've talked about Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett restructured his deal with the Seahawks, so that's not an option unless you're going to trade for him. T. Higgins says that he wants traded if he doesn't get a long-term deal with the Bengals. He is tagged by the Bengals. He'd have to trade to get T. Higgins, and that would cost you a lot of money and draft picks. So that's not on the table, in my opinion. Calvin Ridley is one that I think would be great as a Chief, but I think it might cost too much. And reports are that Ridley wants to stay in Jacksonville if he can work it out. The Patriots are hot to trot after Ridley. So reports are that Ridley hasn't narrowed down to staying in Jacksonville or going to the Patriots. So if that's all true, then Ridley's off the board. Darnell Mooney is a guy that people were reporting yesterday. Chiefs were talking to or trying to talk to a free agent with the Bears who was a wide receiver for Matt Nagy when he was a head coach at Chicago, and now he's the OC for the Chiefs. And then later yesterday, Darnell Mooney signed a three-year deal. What was it, $29 or $36 million? So that's way more than the Chiefs should pay, I think, for a guy like that. I'm okay with the Chiefs paying something like that, but I think maybe they can get something a little bit better. So who's left, right? And there are some receivers that are left. Marquise Hollywood Brown, former Oklahoma Sooner with the Cardinals. There are reports here today. Let me see if I can pull this up. According to a reporter, the Chiefs are hoping to get a deal done with wide receiver Marquise Brown by the end of today. Also, another name that I've thrown out there, Hunter Renfrow, who didn't have a great year at the Raiders, but look at who his quarterbacks were, Garoppolo, and then it was Aiden O'Connell. The Raiders are going to release Hunter Renfrow later today, as he was to count as $13.7 million against the cap. He's a good slot possession type of receiver. I think he could be a type of guy that, one, could take a little bit of weight off of Kelsey because he's the main go-to guy on third down. Renfrow is a very good third down wide receiver, and he would be the closest thing the Chiefs have had since Juju Smith-Schuster to fill that type of role. I don't think the Chiefs really had a wide receiver to fill that role last year. So they're hoping Sky Moore might be the guy, and that didn't work out. So I'm all for if the Chiefs grab Hunter Renfrow. I'm okay with it. And they probably don't have to spend a ton of money on him, but looks like he's going to be available. So there's a few names for you. Marquise Hollywood Brown, he does have speed, not a big receiver. I'm not all hot to trot about this option, but if that's what Brett Veach believes is the best thing to do, then I'm okay with it. And I think we all would agree that the Chiefs are going to address wide receiver in the draft. But if you would somehow get a Marquise Brown and a Hunter Renfrow, and you team that up with Justin Watson and Rashee Rice, okay, I think you could go get, hopefully you at least make one, either a first, second, or third round pick on a wide receiver you really like. And then I think you can fill in around that. You know, Sky Moore, I don't think you give up on him yet. I don't think he's going to be a great receiver in this league, but he could be serviceable. I think Tony is pretty much toast with the Chiefs, but we shall see. Justin Ross, they still, I think, like him and his size and what he possibly could do another year in the system. So if you would get two veteran receivers that don't cost you tons of money, that don't lock you up 2 or 3 4-year deals, and I think Hunter Renfrow might be a guy you could get on a 1-year deal with incentives like Juju Smith-Schuster a few years ago. He's probably tired of losing with the Raiders. and want to play for a winner. And if Marquise Brown is a guy you want, Hollywood, as they call him, I think that one's going to take a three-year deal to get him. That's what the market seems to be showing. So if the Chiefs, they gave, you know, Scantling a three-year, $33 million deal a few years ago, maybe that's about what they give Brown, 3 for $39, 3 for $35, something like that. But if that's what the Chiefs decide to do, I will, in Veach, I trust. But if you pick up a Hollywood Brown, and you would be able to sign a one-year deal with Renfrow with some incentives, now that receiver room looks a little better, and then you can go out and get a speed guy or whatever guy you want to fill whatever void you have in the wide receiving core, whether it's if you want a big-time possession guy, you want a big target, you want a speedster like Xavier Worthy from Texas to kind of play the role of what Tyreek Hill did in this offense, I'm all good with it. DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know if he's going to get released by the Titans today or not, but there was talk a few weeks ago that maybe he'd be released, and there were a whole bunch of Chiefs fans hot to trot on. We have to have Hopkins to win a Super Bowl, which obviously that was all proven wrong, like we kind of thought at the time and said on the show. So that's kind of the update on where the Chiefs sit in regards to the free agency side of things, a wide receiver. They do pick up a tight end, Irv Smith, which means Blake Bell's probably done with the Chiefs, which is not a big deal, I don't think. I'm scrolling through here to see if there's anything new that's coming out about any more free agency, but I don't see anything right at the moment. So we'll keep you updated coming up tomorrow on the Sports Ticket. The Baltimore Ravens have finally gotten Derrick Henry. They were trying to trade for him last year. The 30-year-old running back Henry gets $16 million. He can earn a maximum of $20 million over the two-year deal due to incentives. Contract includes $9 million fully guaranteed in 2024, so the Pro Bowl running back will still be one of the highest-paid running backs in the NFL. He'll go to the Ravens, and the Titans picked up Tony Pollard. The running backs have been musical chairs. You've got Aaron Jones going to the Packers. Josh Jacobs going to the Packers from the Raiders. Aaron Jones going for the Packers to the Vikings. You have Saquon Barkley going from the Giants to the Eagles. Tony Pollard going from the Cowboys to the Titans. And now Derrick Henry going from the Titans to the Ravens. And Austin Eckler went from the Chargers to the Commanders, and Gus Edwards went from the Ravens to the Chargers. You get all that? You get all that written down? Sure you did. That wrap up the Sports Ticket here today, brought to you by Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Once again, we'll have KU basketball tonight on Z96.3 Lake, our sister station. Pregame at 8 o'clock, KU taking on Cincinnati in the second round of the Big 12 tournament.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.